So what's on your mind?
Nothing specific today.
Any questions on the material for week five?
No, I think I'm just trying to wrap my head around like how I'm going to get out the, the way that we're going to send out the
executive. Agenda?
Yeah, I guess the agenda and the wrap up. So, I mean, we already send the appointment reminders.
Yep.
They get a reminder email 5 days before the appointment. They get a reminder call the day before the appointment. So that's probably pretty simple. We just have to create those and then just attach that.
Right. That's it. Just attach the agenda and then afterwards. The executive summary is, I was just talking about, differentiating yourself in the market and being a fanatic about the client experience. How we started with Supernova because we were threatened by a company that provided fee-only financial planning service for $5 million clients and had to really analyze their value proposition, what they were doing right, wrong, and then coming up with something that would beat them, and then just being a real fanatic, crazy person to get my whole office to completely change the way we were doing things in order to compete. And that was 1994. That was pretty new in the game.
Yes.
Financial planning and to get the whole office to
buy.
Go from 640 clients to less than 200 each. I didn't do it with 100%, but I did it with my key players that were threatened by Oxford and by other, and I could see the future clearly, and Oxford just gave me a fabulous opportunity to create the outside enemy. 1984, George Orwell created the outside enemy, made them very real, and then probably dramatized the threat, to almost to excess, obsessed about it, and then use the client service experience as our mission. That was bigger and better and more important than any of us. So, and creating that vision of where you want to go and why you want to go there can be short term or it can be longer term. But this was very urgent, and rarely do you get the opportunity to create change in an urgent way. It's usually evolutionary.
Right.
And so this, taught me a lot about change and how to help people change. But anyway, so what else? This is really getting week of get organized and stay organized week. Building the model, what goes into the folders, even if you're going to make them electronic, what's critical about each page? Why would you do that?
I like the physical folder. I'm actually in agreement because it does give you something physical to hold on to. Networks go down, internet goes down, all that kind of stuff. No, I like the physical folder.
And it's interesting because these are the doctor folders, right?
Right.
So if you take one and you drop it, it doesn't break.
Right.
The papers don't go flying, right?
Right.
They're all attached. One of the challenges is that most of your clients aren't going to have two hole punches. And I'm sort of a fanatic about keeping things neat. I can't stand using those, punching through paper and tearing it. So I would, if I were you, give them all two hole punches.
Okay.
Just as a, hey, here's a, holiday gift that's you're going to find to be practical, because most people don't have one of these hanging around the house. When I give you your folder, you're going to understand why you need it. So I gift wrap it and I hand it to them and say, hey, thanks. And they open it up and they said, dang, you've thought of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, those are the magic words you always want to hear, and rarely will you ever hear them. So take the opportunity and pat yourself on the back when you hear them.
Okay.
Because that means you've thought of everything, so I don't have to think about anything.
Right.
It's really turning things. That's kind of like, okay, I trust you, and you're my hero. I'm going to let you run things. Now, you don't want to abdicate. You want them to give you the opportunity to serve them, but not abdicate responsibility. They're still the CEO of the company. You're still the CFO. You're the advice and guidance. They're the final decision maker. So then you don't run into risks of liabilities.
Right.
Anyway. The flow of the work is a little, you're going to do fine because you can work from home. People say, well, I'm not in my office. The folders are there. I'm not here. I would never have left the office without the folders. Okay. If I were an FA and had to go home.
Sure.
Because my folders are right here, right? They're right here. I look at them. Here you are every week. And Sunday night, I go through the folders and put them on my racks, look at them, and then I'm ready to call you, right?
Right.
That's today's Monday. Here's Wednesday, right? That's another day, Thursday, over there. So I plan my week. It's not more complicated than that. My staff takes care of sending out the reminders and all that stuff, the agenda. So it works for me. One of the things to think about is you don't want to waste one page in there. There's only six pages. So you want every page to be important.
Okay.
All right. So next week, I think it's next week, week six, we talk about the enthusiastically endorsed list, or it's seven, I forget. But the enthusiastically endorsed list is in there. And that you're going to be really good at because you already have your centers of influence. But the enthusiastically endorsed list is a little different than just centers of influence. It's people that you enthusiastically endorse and network with to help your clients. So each client will have their own enthusiastically endorsed list. So we want to know all their advisors and their phone numbers.
Right.
All right. Everything from their CPA, their attorney, their realtor, their commercial realtor, their cardiologist, you know, their gardener, everything that you could ever know about a person, you want to try and know about them.
What's the EE with the asterisk, the E with the asterisk and the NE with the asterisk?
It's a plus or a minus. It's either enthusiastically endorsed or not enthusiastically endorsed.
Okay. What's the E with the asterisk? There's one in the middle.
Endorsed. I think it's neutral.
All right.
So it's either, yeah, you're going to get a positive, a negative, or a neutral.
And how do you recommend what's like best practice on filling that out? Just one of the phone calls? Like, hey, here's a.
No, I do it. I do a couple on each one. And just, you know, if you get in a lull in the conversation, you can just knock off a couple. So I'd start out with everybody's CPA and make sure I knew them.
Yeah, we have all that. I mean, we have a lot of them. We have their attorney, because most of the time we've introduced them to that person.
Right.
We have the CPA, but I don't have like their physicians, a couple other people on here, personal trainer, massage therapist, housekeeper, nanny.
Yeah, you want to know their dentist and, you know, their orthopedic surgeon and their I mean, look, you're smart. You figured out that Juliet is Juliet and I'm Bobo and you wrote it down. You're smart. Okay. So this is called being smart. It's taking smart to another level. And so not only did you hear that they had a problem with their knee, but you remembered about the problem and you wrote down their doctor. And then you ask about their experience. Mm-hmm. How was your experience? Can you, in all good consciousness, enthusiastically endorse this person? Yeah, it's fabulous. Great bedside manner. Surgery went well. Life was, yes, I really like him. Opportunity, right?
Right.
He likes you. She likes you. She likes him. You know, I'm looking for a good orthopedic surgeon to refer to people. If you would endorse him to that degree, would you suggest that I meet him? Yes. I wonder how that would go. You know, how would, you know, ask the advice model. If you were me, how would you go about meeting him? Never thought about it. And then you can make a suggestion. She doesn't even have to endorse. She doesn't even have to give you the referral in this case. Okay. She can just say, yeah, I really think you should. And just, you know, you can call him and say, look, we have a mutual client. All confidentiality precludes me from saying much, but she thinks you're terrific. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Who doesn't want that phone call in the middle of a rainy afternoon?
Right.
And I'd love an opportunity to meet, you know, whether it's a Zoom or a cup of coffee, but, you know, or whatever. I know you probably have more business than you can stand, but I've got a bunch of clients and they're all the right age and they're always looking for somebody. So let's meet. And so you're looking to introduce him. You're not even talking about him introducing you or doing business with you.
Right.
You're just simply trying to meet him and get to the point where you have a relationship and can refer him. Now, where it really comes into play is if you get four people recommending the same guy.
Okay.
That's when I would definitely meet him and say, okay, I have four clients that think you're terrific. I'd love to meet. Who's, I mean, how can they say no, right? No, you're a jerk. I don't want to meet with you.
If you can just get that far, sometimes getting past the gatekeepers in those offices is challenging.
You know, you can figure that out. But the idea is that's valuable information.
Yeah.
Now, you're smart enough to realize that if you could get that whole list of people together at a recognition event, sponsored by you, that'd be a pretty good thing.
Yes, that would be a good thing. Okay, that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, I've had people do it on a river, you know, on a boat, a dinner party. I've had them do it on the great, you know, up in the Chicago and on the Lake Michigan. I've had them do it, you know, at a place for dinner, and you know, they all husbands and wives, and they get to meet each other. And congratulations, you're the most enthusiastically endorsed people in our community. I thought you should get a chance to meet each other. And you could even put on their name tag, you know, most enthusiastically endorsed orthopedic in the community.
That's a good idea.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
People would be like, how the heck did you get invited to that? Right? It'd be the thing to be invited to. Now, you tell me you do all of that and you don't get any introductions? Are you joking?
Sure.
Of course you are.
For sure.
For sure. So you see, the advantage of working with you is you're looking for ideas like this.
Right.
You're not giving me the Heisman, the straight arm. Ah, that's a good idea. It'll work for everybody else, but it won't work for me. You know, that's what I get from my big firm, UBS, Merrill Lynch people. They're, yeah. I don't need that. I'm fine. You're hungry and you're independent and you gotta pay bills, right?
That's right.
You're a businessman. You're an entrepreneur. It's a huge difference. It's just psychologically. You're like, wow, I could make money on that thing. That's a good idea.
Right.
See, the others are spoiled to death. Horrible. And that's why you really don't have any competition. All right, so I go to great lengths to explain to people why it makes sense to take your time in building relationship with centers of influence. There's a difference between the enthusiastically endorsed list,
right,
and a center of influence. A center of influence is defined by somebody that likes you, trusts you, and sends you business without you asking.
Right.
Now, this is kind of an important concept. The idea is that when they refer you to someone, they're making three people happy. They're making themselves happy, they're making the client happy, and they're making you happy. People want to be happy. And they want to make other people happy. So what you want to do is you want to encourage that behavior because it makes them happy. I'm not asking for an introduction. I'm trying to make you happy. Right? You're having a sad day? Basically, give me an introduction. It will make you happy. Now, it's very important how you get the introduction and you train your centers of influence to do it properly. And I just had this morning. Center of influence gives an introduction, says this guy is really big, but don't call him. What is that about? Okay. How is that going to make any of us happy? He doesn't even know he's not called. I'm not supposed to call him. He's not supposed to call. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? So you train your centers of influence to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. They like you. They trust you. They want to help you. It makes them happy. Makes all of us happy. What makes us sad is when we let somebody down.
Right.
Or we embarrass them. Okay, by letting them down. So we want to avoid that at all costs. So how do we avoid letting them down or embarrassing them? By doing what we say we're going to do when we say we're going to do it. That's trust.
Right.
So here's the deal. We're not going to do it unless we're going to do it. We're going to do it right or we're not going to do it at all. Because we can't afford to embarrass any of us. So if you give me an introduction and I don't follow up on it, embarrassment.
Right.
Right? You're embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. The client's like, what the hell? So we're not going to do that. We're not going to get into that game of mystery introductions. We're going to do it one of three ways. We're going to do a Zoom introduction, basically a conference call where we get on the phone and you introduce me, you introduce the client, say flattering things about both of us, and then get off the phone, get off the Zoom, and hit leave, not terminate. And we then get to know each other and see if it's a good fit for both of us. Number one way. Number two way is a conference call. A Zoom is better because we get to see each other and actually enjoy each other.
Right.
Number two is the conference call where we do exactly the same thing. Sure. And number three is an email introduction where it's clear that you say flattering things about both of us. And then it's clear who is going to follow up by calling whom. And since you're the salesman, you'll always call. Okay. Right. And you leave it and make it very clear. Now, you do your job, you call, he never calls you back. You've done your job, you email your client and say, I called him, he never called me back, just wanted to let you know. Okay, now you've done, that's you notice there's not a fourth way.
Sure.
Okay, there's no, I've got a guy for you, he'll call you. No. Right. We're not going to be embarrassed by him not calling me and feeling uncomfortable because he doesn't know me or any of that. We're not going to do it unless we're going to do it right.
Right.
So wait till you think it's really the right thing to do. Then we'll do it. And we'll do it right. Okay. Now, right. It's a lot of social currency lost by not doing that right.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that's introductions. How about the idea of building new relationships or reintroducing yourself to an existing center of influence where you may not have done it perfectly, right? The idea is very simple. It's just based on common sense. That in order to do business with somebody, you really want to get to know them. And, you know, when you were a little kid, you went to somebody's house. First thing you went in the house, they'd say, come up to my room, right? And you'd look around and you'd see all the cool things that they liked on the walls. And you guys made friends because you like the same baseball player or whatever. That's the idea. You visit their house, in this case, their office. And you get to know them and their staff, and you bring your team, and you find out the same things about them that you would tell them about you. So you ask about who is your ideal client? What's your ideal billing? What's your minimum? What's your specialization? How many clients do you have? What would be the ideal number of clients? What's your vision for your practice? What's missing from your relationship with financial planning firm like ours? And then they come and see your room. Come and see my room. Come and see my office. Come and see my team. Meet us, and we'll tell you what we do and how we do it. And you can use your 5-star model to introduce your team so that you are very process oriented. You want to appear very neat, organized, and process oriented, and have capacity. And you go through the same questions, even if they don't ask you those questions, you answer the same questions. Where do you want to be in 5 years? What are your values? What's your purpose? What's your ideal client? Who's your ideal client? What's your minimum size? What's your ideal size? What did I leave out? What do you specialize in? And what's missing in your relationship with the CPA? What would you like to see from them that you're not getting now? And then you meet. So that was theoretically, if we're not in the COVID world, but maybe it's better not in a COVID world. You can meet now and take care of these meetings in two meetings or maybe even one meeting, and just do that whole thing. You could do that whole thing once in a Zoom meeting. And then the second meeting, or in this case, the third. See, the first meeting is, you know, do you want to form a relationship? Get to know each other, right? First one is get to know each other. Second meeting is their place. Third place is your place. The fourth meeting is, this is where you're training him. This is your first training session. Okay? So you're going to train him on, you're going to give him the folder. You're going to talk about your process. And then you're going to teach him the enthusiastically endorsed model. He's going to say, how do you get so many introductions? And you say, I ask this question, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And I don't just ask it of my clients. I ask it of any influential business leader in the community. Because I want to know. So we simply ask that you ask the same question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And you're going to get about 70% of the time, 70% of the time they're going to say, I'm fine. Everything's great. It's okay. Kind of neutral. The other 10-15%, you're going to be enthusiastic and love my CPA. And 15% of the time they're going to be, I hate him, I've outgrown him, you know, I'm ready for a new one. And that's when you introduce the, you know, with your permission, what I'd like, you know, would you be open to an introduction to a couple of top people in our community? Sure. And so he introduces you to them and you follow up. Now, you keep a list in your folder of introductions given and received. And you put down the date of the introduction and the date you opened the account. And that part of your contact system now, you're going to put that date down for both of them. Once they open the account, you're going to put down that date in the year. And on the anniversary, you're going to call them both and tell them thank you. This is part of our magnetic marketing, where you really don't need to ask for an introduction. You're simply thanking them for the behavior that caused them such joy and hope that they, I mean, this is for people that really don't ask, right?
Right.
So by doing that, you're saying, hey, I valued what you did. Clearly, I would value it again. because I'm going so far as to call you. And by the way, this is another one of those things that no one does.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah.
Everybody wants to send out, tell me what to send for Christmas presents this year. Tell me what to send to a client that gives me an introduction. How about a thank you once a year forever? That's the best gift you could ever give them. You call the client on the anniversary and say, hey, just wanted to thank you for the confidence you've had with me over the years. This is your 15th anniversary with us. And you call the person that referred him and said, just wanted to thank you for John Smith. I just called him. He's doing great. Confidentiality precludes me from saying too much, but I just wanted to call and thank you. I know I do this every year, but I just want to thank you again for the introduction. And he goes, you know what? I got another guy for you. You see, it sets it up for both of them.
Right.
Particularly the center of influence, right? And that doesn't have to be a center of influence. That can be any human being that you have on the books. So it keeps you busy, but what else are you going to do that's better for marketing than thank person for doing something wonderful? So you make their day and you set yourself up for an introduction. Now that is a piece of brilliance that you will never find anywhere else, anywhere in coaching.
Right.
None of this stuff. I don't think. I've never heard of it. How did we come up with it? Evolution, thinking. Gee, that's kind of a cool. I wonder, and you come up with it. There it is. Brilliant idea. And nobody uses it. That's the greatest thing about all this. Yeah. You don't have to worry about the competition. And no one will use it, even if I write it in a book.
That's true.
Cure for cancer. I don't think I have cancer.
It's like one said, you know, this business thing would be pretty easy if it weren't for customers and employees.
Right. They get in the way of us getting this thing done perfectly. So you will actually use this stuff because you're hungry.
Right.
Always remember that. Stay hungry.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Stay thirsty, my friend. Stay thirsty, my friend. Love that. I'm writing that down. Do you know the term metacognition?
Metacognition?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know that term.
It's a great term. You know why?
Why?
Nobody knows what it is. You sound smart.
Metacognition.
So metacognition is thinking about what you're thinking about. It's the conscious act of being a human being. We're the only people that can really think, the only species that can really think about what we're thinking about. So it's important in learning. You learn how you best learn. So when I teach you something, you write it down. All right, that's the beginning of you moving it from your short-term memory into your long-term memory.
Right.
And then you're going to take that idea and you're going to put it somewhere so it becomes part of what you're doing. Now, the folder system is a way of having permanent long-term memory that doesn't require you to hold the thought in your brain.
Right.
So when you open the folder and you look at the referral page, it's a reminder to call and to set up the system. Now you want to put the, now remember, basically the client's folder and your folder are going to be identical. And so he's going to have, or she's going to have, a page in it for introductions given and received.
So that goes in the client folders too, not just the...
Think about it.
Influence, yeah. Introductions, I got it right here. Introductions given and received, there we go.
So we're going to train, part of this is a training session for the client. We're going to turn them into our greatest sales force. And they're not, they don't, they've never been trained. And they don't even know they're in training. But you can tell them they are if you want to. It's kind of fun. Everybody likes to be in training for something.
Yeah, we're doing potty training the last week around here, you know, since we got the new puppy.
That's, yes. That's when you want to make sure you use a cage.
That's right. We have a cage.
Oh, cages are genius. They love cages. It's a cave for them. And right. they go in there and they never pee in their cave.
That's true. That's a good point.
Anyway. Yeah, when I discovered cages, it was like, oh, God, this is so easy. Because otherwise they don't know where the hell they are and what they're supposed to be doing. But their natural instinct is to protect their lair and not pee in it. And so they will cry to go out, which is great. So week five is, you know, is a big week. It's got a lot in it. And it's a lot more than, now most of the time I'm going through this, people are like, you know, I can't handle segmentation. You know, I'm still on segmentation. I can't even think, I'm not ready for even organization. Okay, I'll build the folders, but, or I want to make them electronic. And I'm like, okay, try it. You know, nobody's ever done it. So, and been successful with Supernova. So, but you should sure try. Yeah. One guy, I think, did it electronically. Good luck. But you can see how the physical presence of the folders is a training tool for you and for them. And it's a brilliant reminder of processes that you want to create. So when you look at the enthusiastically endorsed list, you say to yourself, I need to get that finished so I can invite them to this event.
Yeah, I like that. We had some dinners we were doing at our house that was working fabulously till March of
Yeah. And the key is to get ready for that.
That's right.
Build it and get ready for the release. And it looks like, based on what they were talking about today, I mean, I'm surprised that they're so definitive. But they were talking about May, June of this year, having enough doses to do the United States. They're talking about doing the world. I guess there'll be 10 to 12 companies in the end that will be producing vaccines. Not all of them have to be -70 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what Pfizer is, which is kind of rough.
Yeah, that is kind of rough.
Anyway. So you caught me on a good day today. I feel very creative and very like a professor. So.
Hey, we all have our good days and bad days, right?
Some days I'm fired up. You know, the fortunate thing about today is I only had 3 calls, which is like a miracle. I've got 7 on Wednesday. So I won't be this creative on Wednesday. But I like, you know, I like stay thirsty, my friend. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Yeah, I talked to my sister-in-law, and she was talking about she's a teacher. She was talking about metacognition because we're talking about training children and how we learn, you know, how we best learn. So think about how you best learn. And that's called thinking about how you think. Mm-hmm.
Typically, people learn best by doing.
It's a combination, you know, I subscribe to the idea of, we learn best the way we learn until we don't learn that way anymore, because we evolve and we want to learn a different way. So I give you the video, which would be a visual learner's tool, right. Give you the book. And one of the things that I'd like you to try is what she talked about. She had a Harvard professor come and speak to her classes in North Carolina on education. He's a brilliant guy. He said that one of the things to do is to read the material over in a cursory way, then go back through it and write down questions that you don't have the answer to, that you're curious about. During the teacher's presentation, if those questions get answered, fine. If not, raise your hand and ask the questions. So what I would ask for you is to really force yourself to come up with three questions that you don't have the answer to from the material each week. The interesting thing is you really need to know the material in order to answer, to create three questions.
Yeah, and I've already done, I'm doing what she suggested her students. Like I read through the whole thing before we got started.
Wow, good.
I've re-listened to the book a couple times, right? And good. Then before we got started, and then I read through the whole thing that is kind of at a, you know, cruising through. And then I've been back through and write questions. And then before our call, I always watch the video and then I always go through the chapter, right? And then I have it in the book. So anyway, I can write down, and then I've got a notebook that I write all of our stuff down in. So it's in time segment. Biggest thing I had, and I just have to work through it, is I completely agree in the executive agenda. The follow-up, I think it's a really good idea. I would just have to think through. We talked about this the other day. So we use advisors, assistants, which is kind of like copy talker. And so I guess I just need to create a custom template. And then I leave a voicemail, but then I've got to think through who's going to send out the executive summary. Am I going to send it out? Is my staff going to send it out like your staff does?
I'd have your staff send it out, but if there's some way that you can peek at it before it goes out, just so they don't screw it up.
Yeah, that's the first thing. How could I? Yeah, that's probably good. Have them draft them all. Let me look at them before they send them. That's probably a good suggestion. And they're all pretty much in a similar template.
Yeah, and don't worry too much about it. It's kind of one of those things. Do it. Just do it. Build the template based on the facts you have, and then you'll learn and it will evolve.
The other thing that I thought about doing, I think I sent you one. Yeah, I did. But I use something called BombBomb, and it's a video email. Do you have any thoughts about?
Oh, I think that'd be fun. Now, the problem with that is
I'm writing.
There's a compliance benefit by sending the written copy that you wouldn't get. You would, but it'd be kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I like the fact that I sent you the prospectus on this annuity. We discussed it and we decided to move forward with that this week. Okay.
That is better. Okay.
Yeah, there's a huge advantage. It's just, then there's in your business, you're out there. Okay.
Sure.
And I've had, the only times I've ever had I had a big renig on an annuity one time. And it was literally months later. And it was a nightmare. And so I'm paranoid about I say, you say. You know, I never agreed to that. He never sent me the prospectus. You have nothing. You know, you got no records. Now this precludes all of that. You're set.
And the record shows that FINRA almost always rules in favor of the client just out of sympathy.
Absolutely. Big company, plenty of deep pockets, poor, you know, take me, right? I'm a 74-year-old old man. I could come in looking like, you know, with a walker and... Or I could be this sharp businessman that, you know, and so you don't have a chance. So why would you ever not do this? You'd be crazy not to.
I completely agree. We document everything.
And it isn't a question of if, it's a question of who and when. And the more they say, you take care of it, Preston, you got it. You know, I'm really counting on you and I don't really want to hear about it. You just take care. You use discretion. You know, those are the ones that are going to nail you or their children.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, well,
it helps that we no longer charge commissions. That's very helpful. That takes away a lot of that issue. With some of the stuff I've been through, you know, that's why
but that. If you've read the cases, they're coming back for fees.
That's right. No, I know. I'm just saying.
They're 5 years with 3 years with the fees, you know, exploited my parents. Da, 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 da. So they'll figure it. The lawyers are brilliant. You're not up against clients. You're up against very smart lawyers.
That's right.
All right. That's enough for today, unless you have something else.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, have fun on the golf course. Enjoy your time with Juliet. Glad you had a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Yeah. Talk to you next. Preston. See you, buddy. God bless you.
All right. Bye. You too.